Greetings to the brightest audience in America. I am Bob Enyart, the nation's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host, and also the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have planned for today's show quite a coup. My producer never fails to amaze me. He gets countless guests, including Ann Coulter, on my show. He gets me appearances on ABC's Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher, Hannity and Combs, O'Reilly, and on the BBC. And now today we have perhaps the biggest guest, the biggest interview scheduled for just to begin in 4 or 5 minutes from now, probably the biggest guest that I've ever had. So we've postponed the topic that we had scheduled for this program about how America's violent crime rate is escalating, as the extra million people that we put in jail during the 90s are being released, that we didn't prevent all that crime for the last decade. We merely postponed it until we again released these violent felons onto our streets. And now they're coming out and they're gaining access to a new set of victims. And so our crimes, including rape and murder, are increasing. The rates and the raw numbers of such crimes are increasing across America. That's just devastating. Now, to prepare for today's show, first, we have to remember yesterday's news. In France, their Environmental Protection Department, they issued an ecological warning that blue jeans may destroy the planet. You heard that yesterday on Bob Enyart Live and on your friendly newscast? Especially if you wash them, right? Remember that out of France, out of Paris yesterday? And I thought that the only thing that would come of that report was that it would give the French another excuse to avoid soap. That's what I thought. I figured now their EPA is saying don't wash your jeans, and the use of soap in France would even go lower. Well, it turns out in the news today, British astrophysicist Stephen Hawking, perhaps the best-known scientist in the world, well, probably he's the best-known atheist of any profession in the world, I guess, he received a rock star's welcome in Hong Kong today, and there, at a press conference, he warned mankind that humans must go into space to be saved, to survive. We must go into space. And rather bizarre. And I thought, I wonder if he had heard France's warning yesterday that blue jeans are destroying the planet. I wasn't sure about that. Well, anyway, I imagine it's because Bob Enyart Live airs on one of the most powerful radio stations in America. In fact, one of the top 10 radio stations in the whole country, the 50,000 watt AM 670 KLTT. That's our base station in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. I figured it was because of that that my producer was able to pull some strings, and he lined up Stephen Hawking to be on the show today in just about 3-4 minutes. So that's exciting. Now, what we've done is we downloaded a clip from his publicist website, and here's the story. We got it first from the Associated Press. Hawking says humans must go into space. The survival of the human race depends on its ability to find new homes elsewhere in the universe, because there is an increasing risk that a disaster will destroy the Earth, world-renowned scientist Stephen Hawking said today. And he's actually talking about, and I'm going to bring to you clips out of this, and he's talking about mankind will be destroyed if we don't go into space. I think it's somewhat bizarre, but this is what he is out there saying. And so what we did was we went to his publicist website and downloaded a clip. And I think we have time before we get him to play that clip, right? He's saying, basically, and I'll, again, read more of this article to you in this press release, but he's saying we should go to the moon, we should go to Mars, but it's going to be hard to find anywhere that's quite like our own Earth. And remember that Stephen Hawking is a quadriplegic, and he has severe disability so that he's not able to speak. He speaks with a voice synthesizer. But let's get that clip we got off his publicist website.
We won't find anywhere as nice as Earth unless we go to another star system.
Okay. So that, anybody could download that, and so you hear the point. Now, actually, years ago, some people think, and they've said to me over the years, they've said, Bob, why is it that you like Stephen Hawking? And I don't like him. I don't like Stephen Hawking, but I know what they're referring to. I quote him when I'm in a debate with an atheist, an evolutionist, and they think there is no God and maybe the universe has always been here. And so since Stephen Hawking is the number one astrophysicist in the world, I quote him, and he says very directly, the universe could not have always been here, because if it was, it would all be the same temperature by now. That's basic thermodynamics. Heat flows from greater heat to lesser heat, and the whole universe would be freezing cold, about 0 degrees Kelvin, right now if the universe was infinitely old. But it's not infinitely old. It had an origin at some point in the past, recent enough that the universe still is very hot, for example, in our stars. So it's not that I like Stephen Hawking. I actually, to be honest, I don't like him. In fact, one of the things he said that got me the most angry at him was when he said that the human race, he said, when you look at the universe and you look at us on Earth, we think we're so important, so valuable. He said, but actually, we are insignificant. We're insignificant. And I that makes me angry. How, you know, a child, one child has eternal worth. So why Stephen Hawking would say that we are insignificant, that really annoys me. But what do we have here? We have another couple minutes. You're expecting that call? All right. So we have maybe another minute or two. So in this article, he says that the survival of the human race depends on our ability to find homes elsewhere in the universe because there's an increasing risk that a disaster will destroy the Earth. And he gives suggestions of where we should go, and he says that in 20 years, we could have a colony on the moon, a permanent base on the moon, and we could be on Mars with a colony in the next 40 years, because if not, the human race may not survive. Now, personally, I think that's a little weird, and he gives four reasons. He gives four reasons for why he thinks we should go to the moon or Mars, and I'd like us to talk about those four reasons. But then he says, we won't find, in fact, we had this quote in this clip that we got from his website. Could we play that again? That clip from the publicist website. He says, look, when we go out to outer space, it's going to be hard to find someplace like that we're used to here on Earth. You have that? Let's hear that again.
We won't find anywhere as nice as Earth unless we go to another star system.
All right. Now, that's because we look in our solar system and Earth is custom designed for human life. It's beautifully designed for human life. And we look at the other planets, and they're miserable. As far as accommodating human life, it's pretty horrendous. And so he's saying, well, if we go to another star system where we believe we have found planets orbiting other stars. And so that sounds fun when you first think about it, but the stars in our Milky Way galaxy that we have been looking at Our star is a domesticated star. It's a beautifully civilized star. From hour to hour, day to day, it gives off extraordinarily consistent heat and light. It's so wonderfully behaved for us. Other stars are way more unpredictable, and they vary rather significantly in how much heat they put out. And the vast majority of planets that we think we're finding in other star systems, we see wobbles of the stars, and we think those wobbles translate to planets that are orbiting the stars. They are planets that are way closer to their stars than we are to our star, which would mean much greater extremes of temperature. And then not only are you way closer to the star, but the star is not domesticated. It's not made for us. It's way more dangerous, and how it varies how much heat it puts out. And so he says we won't find anywhere as nice as Earth unless we go to another star system, and all indications are that would be pretty miserable, that we'd probably die there. So at any rate, all right, are we, all right, my call screener is on the phone right now, so we'll see if that is Stephen Hawking. So he says in this article, he says, it is important for the human race to spread out into space for the survival of the species, Hawking said. And then he lists the disasters that would cause us to be annihilated here on Earth, and why we should go to the moon or Mars. And okay, we've got them. All right, go ahead. Stephen Hawking, welcome to Bob Inert Live.
Hello, Bob Inert. Thank you for having me on your program, Bob Inert.
Okay, you know what, Mr. Hawking, here's what I would like to do. I'd like to go through the press release from your press conference this morning in Hong Kong, and I've put you back on hold, and I'd like to go through this because, well, there are a lot of important points, and I think we need to cover them in an orderly way. So let's see here. Now, you've said that there are four disasters that might destroy us, and so therefore we should go to the moon or Mars for protection. And the four that you list are sudden global warming, nuclear war, I guess that would be man's hatred for man, a genetically engineered virus, or other dangers we have not yet thought of. And here's what I'd like to do, Dr. Hawking. I'd like to talk through these and explain, while you're on hold listening, I'd like to explain why this seems very questionable to me. And then I'll get back to you and you could respond. All right, so here we go. Now, you're an atheist, and the secular world mocks Christians for trusting God's word, the Bible, that one day, because of man's wickedness, God will bring an end to this phase of Earth history and the world will come to an end. Yet, it seems that there are liberal prophets of doom out in the world, from Al Gore to you, Stephen Hawking, saying the same thing, only with even greater alarm, and you mock those who fear God, and instead you say that we should fear the end of the world from, I don't know, blue jeans or tree saws or driving our car to work, even though blue jeans are made from cotton and trees are a renewable resource, and oil we get out of the ground, and sometimes we spill it, but it goes back in the ground. Well, I'd like to talk through this and find out, and I'll ask our audience to think through. By the way, we're 50,000 watts here out of Denver, Colorado, Bob Inert Live. And our website is kgov.com, kgov.com. Dr. Hawking, if ever you're bored and want to surf the web, you might want to listen to some of our science shows, especially on the Big Bang. But you say that global warming is a concern, that global warming is a concern. And here's what I'm wondering. You said maybe we should go to the moon, or maybe we should go to Mars. And that's confusing to me because we know about the average temperature of the moon, right? The moon's average temperature is about 230 degrees during the day. And that's way hotter than anything we're looking at if everyone in the world drives a car for 1,000 years. 230 degrees during the day, but at night it cools down. It dips to a couple hundred degrees below zero. And those are average temperatures, not extremes. So to be honest, I don't want to be rude to you, Dr. Hawking, but it seems a bit silly to suggest going to the moon for better weather. Seems a little bit silly to avoid temperature extremes on Earth. We're going to go to the moon where it's about 230 degrees during the day and a couple hundred degrees below zero at night. Now, I know that you suggested to avoid global warming, maybe we should go to Mars. And I imagine that would help us avoid global warming because it's about 50 million miles further from the sun, and global warming happens by the sun. And so on Mars, the average temp, what is the average temperature on Mars? Isn't it about a balmy 81 degrees below zero Fahrenheit? Isn't that the average? But it does warm up to 20 degrees or so occasionally. I think when we sent our Viking landers to Mars, if you recall, Doctor, they measured temperatures ranging from 1 degree Fahrenheit to 178 below zero. That's minus 178 Fahrenheit. So, Dr. Hawking, I've asked you to wait on hold so you could think through all this. And when we're done, I'll do my best to come to you and let you respond. But I want you to hear all this. And I'd rather not be interrupted on my own show. Thank you. So, do you really think because of global warming where the temperature, they fear that the temperature on Earth may have increased 1 degree in the last 30 years, maybe 1 degree warmer, and you want us to go to Mars where it's 150 degrees below zero? Or you want us to go to the moon where it's 230 degrees above zero during the day to get away from global warming? I mean, that just strikes me as absurd. Why is it that atheist scientists can be inane and get away with it, and the media doesn't say anything? They just nod and say, oh, why is that? So sure, you get in a spaceship, you go 50 million miles further away from our heat source, from the sun, you land on Mars, and it's freezing. I will grant you, you have dealt with global warming, to global freezing. Okay, so that's one of your concerns. The other, you listed four reasons why mankind may not survive unless we go to outer space. And your second reason is nuclear war. Nuclear war. And, you know, that seems to me that's a result. I know you liberals say that men are basically good. But if men are basically good, why is it that when men get in power and they run large corporations or big governments, that the liberals say they're all evil? Why aren't they just that much better? Why aren't corporations 50,000 times better than one person? Because there are 50,000 people in it. But people are basically sinful, as the Bible says. And so they have a tendency to hate one another. And the human race tends to be self-destructive. And so you say nuclear war may wipe out the human race. But when you send human beings on spaceships to go to the moon or Mars, they're not going to get a conversion. And suddenly they don't have to deal with their sinful flesh. They're still going to be normal human beings. And they could hate each other on the moon as well as they hate each other here. Remember, we sent Europeans from the old world, Europe, to the new world. And they slaughtered people and one another and had crimes and wars. So what makes you think going to the moon or Mars will help human beings be saved from themselves? I don't get that. And certainly on Earth, we could have 1,000 bombs explode on Earth, and life would go on pretty much as usual. But imagine the fragile existence on Mars. Imagine a colony on Mars such a fragile existence. Imagine one bomb blowing up in the nascent colony on Mars. And what would that do to the survival possibility of the human race on Mars? If one person, one Osama bin Laden, wanted to take out everybody. And so he wiped out the plant that makes our oxygen. When I first read your press release, Dr. Hawking, my 8-year-old son was with me in a local coffee shop. And I said, son, one of the most popular scientists in the world said we should leave the Earth so that we could survive as a human race, that we should go to the moon or Mars. And I hope you're listening carefully, because my 8-year-old Zachary, I would like to tell you what he said. He said, but Dad, there's no air on the moon or Mars. And I said, son, good point. In other words, you're saying, Zachary, that it'd be more difficult to survive on the moon or Mars than it is on Earth? And he said, of course. I said, son, you should be the world's most renowned scientist. So anyway, nuclear war, going to the moon or Mars, human beings, they would not be safe from human beings because they're the ones going there. And of course, all 5 billion of us, I know that we couldn't all fit on the moon, right? Imagine the overpopulation on the moon. That's a small place. So I'm sure you would enjoy the job of picking who would go and who would be left behind. Now, you say that a genetically engineered virus might wipe out the human race on Earth. Well, what? People on the moon and Mars, they're not going to have health care? They're not going to be human beings that went there from the Earth? I mean, if we have that here, when our astronauts go there and our health care goes there and our agriculture goes there, they're going to bring the latest and the greatest. And if we could destroy ourselves here, we'll destroy ourselves there. And then finally, you say other dangers we have not yet thought of. Other dangers. And I'd like to ask you, Dr. Hawking, if we're going to spend hundreds of billions of dollars to survive as a human race by going to the moon or Mars, where are we more familiar with the dangers that may befall us, here on Earth or on Mars? And where are we more able to protect ourselves from the dangers that may befall us, here, where you could walk out of any building and survive if you're capable? You could live off the land in 10,000 locations on this planet. Mars, something unexpected happens, and you walk outside, and you're an ice pop. You're an ice pop. So, okay, I wanted to get all that out without being interrupted. And I realized, I suggested to my producer that I would say hello to you and put you on hold while we talk through your article and then let you back on the air. And he thought that would be a little rude. But I was sure that you wouldn't take offense because of really, in the big picture, Dr. Hawking, of how totally insignificant you are as a human being. So let's go now back to the phone. Dr. Hawking, welcome back to Bubba in Your Life. Dr. Hawking, is that the right line? Could you try another? Can we try another? Oh, brother. Okay, we lost Dr. Hawking. Now, I don't know why. I don't know why. Our phone number is 1-800-8-NYARTS. The lines are open because we weren't taking calls. You know, Stephen Hawking has said, I wonder if he took offense. He shouldn't have, right? He can't possibly think he's a big shot. You know, Stephen Hawking has said that the human race is insignificant. The human race is insignificant. And if the human race is insignificant, then what could he possibly be? What could he possibly be? If the whole human race is insignificant, he can't even walk. He can't even talk. Now, if the entire human race, all the beautiful children that live just within blocks of our home in Denver, Colorado, all the kids we know of, each one having eternal worth, precious worth and value. And so, for Dr. Hawking to say that the entire human race has no value, certainly he himself would be insignificant. Let's go to the phones in Aurora, Colorado. Mike, welcome to Bubba and You're Alive.
Hey, Bob. Once again, great show. Great start to a show.
Thank you.
This guy cannot be for real. It just shows you some of these scientists, really, they're interested in some sort of technocracy, and we're supposed to pay for them to travel to Mars or the moon and live? Couldn't that money, couldn't those billions of dollars to develop this technology and get people there, couldn't that be used to, I don't know, help end wars and poverty and the things that cause wars? I don't know.
Well, and but, you know what? I personally have nothing at all against us going to the moon or to Mars.
Right.
And
me either.
I think it'd be a lot of fun, but I think it's absurd to say we have to go there to avoid global warming. I mean, that is a joke.
Right.
And now, Mike, what do you think of this? I know that he's famous. I know that Stephen Hawking is famous, and he's the world's probably the most renowned scientist alive today. But he has said that the human race is insignificant. So do you think it's at all possible that I could be accused of being rude to him? If, in fact, he himself is insignificant.
Well, obviously, he probably...
Yeah.
You know, educated people like him probably are fairly uptight about their education and what they know, and who are you as a non-scientist to question him
yeah.
or his theories, really. And,
right.
And when you apply, you know, good common sense...
Yeah.
A lot of times these people, they do not know how to reply.
Hey, and, thank you. Mike, thank you so much. We're about out of time.
All right, you take care. Good talking
okay.
to you.
Thank you so much. And, yeah, I mean, Stephen Hawking said that we're just like a speck of dust. And that the whole human race is like a speck of dust. And if you're busy in your life, you're doing something, do you stop everything you're doing to go look in the room next door to see, look at a speck of dust? Normally, no. So if he's just a speck of dust, if that's all he is, right, and I didn't get to him because I didn't get to a speck of dust, he's insignificant. Remember, Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. And when someone rejects your message, as you walk away, wipe their dust off your feet. So surely Stephen Hawking cannot object to being treated as though he were insignificant, right? Because then we would have exposed his lie, his hypocrisy, and dug down to the deeper truth that he knows that human beings are not insignificant. In fact, he knows that each human being should be treated with dignity and eternal value, unless, of course, they're guilty of crimes, and then they should be treated accordingly, as God does in the Bible. He treats some people with the utmost of grace and gently and tenderly, and others very harshly and even mocking the wicked at times. As Jesus showed us, you have a different approach to different people depending on their response to you, to the gospel, and to the truth. All right, now let's go to the phones in Denver, Colorado. John, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello, Bob. How are we doing?
Hello, sir. What's up?
Yeah, I was wondering if Mr. Hawking wants to colonize on places, whatever happened to Greenland and Antarctica?
Hey.
They may have bad temperatures, but at least that has oxygen. And
hey,
it's pretty barren right now.
That's a great idea. There's oxygen there, and if it warms up, it'll be nicer. Great idea.
Exactly.
John, you're brilliant. Thank you. Hey, and let me ask you this before you go.
Sure.
Let me ask you, do you think it was rude of me to put that famous scientist on hold and just talk while he's sitting on hold?
Well, maybe. Well, he says he's insignificant. So if he's insignificant.
Why not?
Then
All right.
There's no room for boasting when you believe that you are an insignificant part of the galaxy. Come on.
All right, John, thank you so much for calling. We are ready for a break. Our phone number here at Bob and Yurt Live is 1-800-8-N-YURT. That's 1-800-836-9278. We will be back right after this.
N-YURT, that's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
This is Bob and Yurt inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278. Bob and Yurt Live. The website is kgov.com. Have you checked out the website? It is so much fun. And our sister website, theologyonline.com. In fact, we've got an email here. Actually, this was posted on TOL on June 9th, just a few days ago. And it is from a 33-year-old father of two boys. I've been married for nearly 10 years, and we live in New Zealand. I have a reasonably scientific background, education, and career. And this post goes on to talk about this neat guy, Christian guy, and he writes this. He writes, I stumbled across the famous Battle Royale 7, Bob Enyart versus Zaketh debate on Does God Exist? And then I found the message boards. Wow. That's a debate we had online, a 10-round moderated debate with the resident atheist at TOL named Zaketh. And Zaketh is a degreed psychologist. And what a debate we had. It was really enjoyable. And we sell that debate, even though it's available free online. And people know they could read it online. Just go to TOL. In fact, they could go to our website, kgov.com. Or go to theologyonline.com and search for Battle Royale 7 or Bob Enyart versus Zaketh. And you find the debate and you can read it there, but people buy it from us anyway. What do we sell that for, Battle Royale 7? They buy it from us because it's all printed out. It's really, very well organized. And it's got an appendix at the back. And what do we sell for, $19.95? Yeah, $19.95, and it's a 170-page debate. And it is a blast. You absolutely will love it. So anyway, this dad, husband from New Zealand, says, I stumbled across the Battle Royale 7, Bob Enyart versus Zaketh debate, and found the message boards. Wow. And that's where, by the way, if you're not familiar with going to an internet forum, you could participate. You could ask your own questions and quite often have people who will suggest answers to your questions, or you could answer other people's questions, or you could comment on things being said, or start discussions yourself. You could do all that. I was pleased to see that most of the posts were around my level. It was a great blessing to find the incredible apologetic resource that is Bob Enyart. I wonder what that means. Was that an insult? Oh, I don't think so. I think it was a compliment. Thank you so much, New Zealand. I will be buying some of his materials for sure. Wow. That's encouraging because that helps us keep Bob Enyart Live on the air and on the internet. Okay. So I'm glad John from Denver agreed that I wasn't rude to Stephen Hawking because, after all, he's insignificant. And so if he's insignificant, you surely can't be rude to him by putting him on hold. And you surely wouldn't want to know his opinion. Why would you waste your time to find out something insignificant? So, and I hope Christians who are listening, you know, Christians, we like to be very polite and gracious to people, you know, as our normal mode of behavior. At times it's appropriate to be harsh and confrontational. Or even something that might be called rude at times, right? Jesus was rude and confrontational at times, but he used wisdom to decide when to do those things. He used wisdom. And so should we. So anyway, I hope, though, that Christians would realize that we're demonstrating to Stephen Hawking that when he says that the entire human race is insignificant, in fact, he doesn't believe that at all. He doesn't believe that at all. And there's something within him. There is a God-shaped vacuum within him, if you will. God made us to have a relationship with him. And when that relationship is broken or when it doesn't exist, then there's something aching inside of us. And we tend to fill it with whatever. We worship the earth, or we fill it with exaggerated opinions of our own wisdom and capabilities. We fill it with drugs or alcohol or sexual gratification or a lust for power and influence, or just being rotten or miserable or laziness or movies or video games, right? This desire we have to be complete in God, if that is not fulfilled, we find other destructive ways to occupy our time. And so from within himself, he knows that he is not insignificant. He knows that. But he doesn't want to admit that he's made in the image and likeness of God. So he realizes he is a human being. So he says the entire human race is insignificant. And it is not, in fact. God made us. And it's so neat. The universe is vast. But right in the middle of it, he put the earth. And when you look out and upward to the vast expanse of the universe, then you realize, wait, let's look downward, inward, into the extraordinary tiny world of human cells, living cells, and then DNA molecules within those cells, and then atoms in the molecule, and then the subatomic particles within each atom. And you realize that human beings are extraordinarily situated somewhere nicely in the center of the universe and in the center of the range between the subatomic to the galactic and intergalactic. It's pretty cool where God put us so that we could be observers in both directions, micro and macro, microscopes and telescopes. And we could look at the universe because we're in a spiral galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. And what's neat is that we are not in the middle of one of the arms. Because if we were, there's so many millions of stars in those arms, it's hard to see. It's hard to see out of the arm. If we were in the center of the galaxy, anywhere near the center, there are so many stars, it's so dense, it'd be hard to see the galaxy itself. You can't see the forest for the trees. And forget about seeing other galaxies. So God put us in absolutely the perfect place, and that is such a blessing. Okay, we have some news stories to cover. In Cambridge City, Indiana, this sent to us by one of our listeners, a suspect has been charged in his accomplice's death, his partner's death. Police say that a man waited in a car while his accomplice robbed a pharmacy, and the accomplice, the partner in crime, was killed. And so the guy in the getaway car, they're charging him with murder in his accomplice's death. That is fabulous. That is so great. Even though he didn't kill his partner, he was partner in crime. He was driving the getaway vehicle. The guy's name, Tucker Hunt, 22 years old, in Indiana, was charged in the death of Arnold Potter, 22 years old. And police said that Potter and Hunt drove to a CVS pharmacy store in Cambridge City. And then Hunt waited in the car while Potter, Arnold Potter, went inside the pharmacy and demanded the prescription painkiller, OxyContin. That's what Rush had been addicted to after back pain. OxyContin, very addictive and very dangerous. You got to be careful with some of these painkillers. Well, anyway, he goes in. He doesn't ask for money. He asks for this painkiller, OxyContin. And then police were called to the scene, and as these officers responded, the pharmacist called 911. I don't know how he pulled that off. That was pretty good. Police responded, And this Arnold Potter pointed his gun at the police officers who were responding, and two officers fired several rounds at Potter, and he was pronounced dead at a local hospital. So the police have already determined that he was shot in self-defense. The officers were defending themselves, and you should generally give the benefit of the doubt to the responding officers, especially as crime is so horrendous in America. Crime is horrendous, and we have officers who should be peace officers, but it's more like they're on the front lines of a war, of a hot war. And so they go to a scene, and it looks like somebody's pulling a gun, and they respond quickly, and they shoot somebody, and really it was someone angry with the police in a dark alley, and he had pulled a knife, and it wasn't a gun, and he was 15 feet away. But too bad, he's dead. You generally give the benefit of the doubt to the police, and in this case, it's an armed robbery. The police show up, and he points his handgun in their direction, and they shoot him. Actually, they did a very good thing. They did a good thing. They were well-trained, and that's what we call gun control. A cool head and a keen eye and a steady hand. That's gun control. So the Wayne County prosecutor in Indiana, Michael Shipman, he said, this is a rare case. Indiana law says that if a defendant engages in a felony crime and a person gets killed in the commission of that crime, then the defendant can be charged for murder. And of course, that's absolutely proper. Except it shouldn't matter whether it's a felony or not. If you are engaged in a crime, you are intentionally involved in the commission of a crime, and someone dies, then you are responsible. You are responsible for that homicide. So this Hunt, Tucker Hunt, was also charged with armed robbery, appropriately, but when you're charged with murder, what's the difference? It's sort of like piling on. You should be convicted and executed in this case. So these other crimes are somewhat irrelevant, but our system, of course, doesn't work properly. Even when there are glimmers of truth in the system, generally the system itself is broken. And so this guy will not be executed as he should be. And that's when Ezekiel 13:19 kicks in, where God said, do not profane me, keeping people alive who should not live. That's what God said. Do not profane me, keeping people alive who should not live. So those who are nicer than God, those Christians who are against the death penalty, for example, God says what they are doing is they are profaning me, because I have said that murderers should be put to death, and attempted murderers, those who attempt to murder, or conspirators to murder, and those involved in a crime are responsible for the damage resulting from that crime. And so many who are nicer than God, in other words, God is pretty nice, but he's not all nice. If he was only nice, if he was all love and only love, then he wouldn't put people in hell. He's not only love, he's also just. And he's a God of vengeance and wrath and terror. Yeah, he's that also. He's a God of war, and he wars against the wicked. And eventually, the war will be over, and they will be judged, and they will be sent to the lake of fire. So, in the meantime, God has us on earth sharing the gospel with people, encouraging people to acknowledge that there is a God who made us, who loves us, who died for us through God the Son, Jesus Christ, and rose from the dead, so that he paid the penalty for our sin, so that if we trust in him, we could have eternal life. And that's it. That's all God needs from us, because God wants to work in us And if we are in rebellion against God and we hate God, then how can he work with us? But if we will humble ourselves enough to say, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you that you died on the cross for my sin. Right? If we can say that, thank you that you died on the cross for my sin, then God could work with us. And that's so absolutely wonderful that he's willing to do that and that he didn't give up on us. So that's God's plan. And in the meantime, while he has us on this earth preaching the gospel, sharing the truth of salvation with others, we're also living our normal lives. And there are people who in sin hurt one another, even passing the threshold of committing crimes. And they steal and they kidnap, commit adultery, commit homosexuality, they murder. And God has laid out a system of punishment. God has authorized punishment, and he has not authorized putting people in jail as a punishment. That's a horrendous idea. That's a humanist idea for punishment. And for someone involved in a crime where people die, then they are responsible for those deaths in a criminal way. And they're to be put to death. And God says, if you put people to death like this, as God instructs us swiftly and painfully, then God says people will hear and fear and no longer act presumptuously. In other words, there will not be a crime epidemic if you swiftly put people to death as God has commanded. So we are nicer than God as a society, and we will not execute people the way God said. We're nicer than him. And the tragedy, I understand humanists when they behave that way. It's especially tragic when Christians behave that way, because God said, "Do not profane me by keeping people alive who should not live." Investigators found a loaded handgun in a bag containing a large quantity of OxyContin at the robbery scene. And this is about 50 miles east of Indianapolis. By the way, Bob and Yurt Live was on TV in Indianapolis for, what, 3-4 years? Something like that. And that's undoubtedly why we got this article sent to us by one of our listeners there now. Because right now, we are on the radio in Denver, Colorado, and in Boone, Iowa, which covers the Des Moines area in Iowa generally. And those are our two affiliate cities. And in Denver, the station is so powerful that the radio program, Bob and Yurt Live, could be heard in virtually the entire state and even into 7 neighboring states, which is pretty exciting. That's a huge swath of the Rocky Mountain area. Okay. Now we have a story out of Commerce City, Colorado, and that's right near our headquarters for Bob and Yurt Live here in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. It's a Denver suburb. And this woman is accused, June Candelario. She is accused of locking her 13-year-old grandson in a dog kennel while she went to work for the last 3 years. How is this one? This has been published by Nine News, our NBC affiliate TV station here in Denver, Colorado. She's been accused of locking her 13-year-old son, her 13-year-old grandson, in a dog kennel while she went to work for the last 3 years. It's just startling and horrendous. And when the law is broken, then people break. When the law is broken, people break. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of the law. This is the equivalent of kidnapping. You know, if you were to ask what basic crime is being committed here, you know, unlawful incarceration, which is the equivalent of kidnapping. And they have, in fact, charged her with second-degree kidnapping. I would get rid of the second degree. And reckless endangerment. and false imprisonment and child abuse. So I would just put it as kidnapping, and God says that the punishment for kidnapping is death. And people kill their children. Here's a Florida mother charged with killing her baby out of Miami. The Associated Press says a woman accused of killing her 9-month-old baby and wounding her 3-year-old daughter said demons told her to do it. Right? Hey, there are millions of Christians who think everything bad that happens is the devil, as though human beings have no sin nature, no flesh. Or there are millions of other Christians that think everything bad that happens is God, that God orchestrated all the filth and perversion and confusion and wickedness and unfaithfulness in the world. So there's very little room in so much Christian theology for actual human initiative, which takes away the entire thrust of the Bible, because the Bible, the whole point is, here's what human beings do, and God is at war with them. Not that God is on both sides of the war against good and evil, that he's funding both sides, directing both sides, orchestrating both sides, enjoying both sides, deriving pleasure from both sides. No, not true. And so, women kill their children, Susan Smith, so many others, and there's no fear. There's no fear. And other women, it's almost like an epidemic of women killing their babies in America. It's so devastating. That's why we need Christians who are not ashamed of the Word of God to learn God's Word and how to rightly divide it and apply it to our society today. Hey, check out our website, kgov.com, and call us at 800-8-NYART, 800-836-9278. God bless you.